Hey there, Patty Dominguez. I am back with episode 123 of the Positioning to Profit podcast. And this episode, it's a special guest, somebody who is also a member of the Prolific Cafe community, the amazing Lizzie Kangro. She has just got the best heart. She is an international expert nutritionist, wellness coach, author, empowering women to love their bodies. And really the way that I see that she's creating is a movement, which is super, super exciting. So she's going to talk to us about her book, what she's been creating, what her vision is, and really how she's expanding the message of who she wants to attract in her business. So such a great example of somebody who is on purpose, who is really sharing what she's doing with a lot of intentionality. So I'm really excited to share what Lizzie is doing, talking about her book and all the good stuff. And before we get started with the show, I just want to remind you that you can find a whole host of positioning goodies, considered a positioning treasure chest, if you will, by just going to positioningtoprofit.com. Again, that's positioningtoprofit.com. You'll find the positioning quiz, some other goodies in general, really all of the things that we've been putting together to help you to create your category of one, making your competition irrelevant, and really standing in your own power and knowing that what you have to share is important, because as I always believe, your message matters. So lots of good stuff to cover. Looking forward to sharing this all with you. And with that, let us get on with the show. Here we go. Hey there, I'm Patty Dominguez. You're about to discover what it means to position your brand and your business to stand out. This show explores the stories of small business owners just like you who are bringing their message out to the world and impacting their tribe. So if you want to take your business to a category of one status, then hang with me, because this podcast shares everything you need to know about how to be more prolific with your brand so that you can have more profits. Okay, Lizzie Kangro, thank you so much for agreeing to join me for this expert masterclass of sorts. I am so honored to have you here because I love the angle that you're taking with an all too common theme of women and food and all the things that we struggle with. I know I personally have struggled with this topic quite extensively. And in fact, in my 20s, I had an eating disorder and the whole thing. So I had a very warped sense of food. And I know for me, one of the things that stood out when I heard about you is this whole thing about the mean girl, right? And really and being rebellious against the inner mean girl, which I absolutely love. But before I get too ahead of myself, welcome Lizzie Kangro.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me, Patty. I really appreciate you. And I didn't know about your history. So thank you for sharing that. And just thanks for having me on. It's really a blessing to be able to share my kind of experience and hopefully lots of tips and tools for women to free themselves from that inner mean girl that we're going to be talking about. So
yeah, I really believe that when we're just honest about stuff and just own the experiences and the things that have happened for us, you know, not to us, but for us, it really opens a door to really healthy conversation. So do you find that that is absolutely the case, that your movement is really about facilitating that conversation that some people feel perhaps really apprehensive about sharing?
Absolutely. One of my top values is authenticity, but I found it very, very difficult to share authentically and openly about my story. And for a very long time, I was a nutritionist, but I didn't actually share the fact that I had suffered from an eating disorder. And that was the whole reason why I became a nutritionist. And it definitely kind of felt like a little bit of the block in my throat where I was holding back. And I really wanted to share, but I really feared being judged. But once I kind of put that fear of judgment aside and shared, I had so many people come to me and say, oh my goodness, I have also experienced this. Yeah. And this is my truth. Thank you so much for sharing. And I think time and time again, when I shared very personal things that I thought I'm the only one, people have come and proved to me that actually, you know, what I think is the very unique experience is actually, you know, very widespread and pretty, I don't like to say normal, but there's a lot of people who can relate to the experiences that I've been through. And through that, we build connection and community. And it's just such a beautiful thing to be able to achieve that in a world that I think it is very much about kind of disconnect and, you know, everyone kind of scrambling over each other and trying to compete, but actually coming together and saying, oh yeah, same. What can we do about this? It's so empowering. So yeah.
Yeah. There's so much there unpacking where the opportunity is, because I think as a business owner, I think one of the gifts that you can give is more of yourself authentically. Like you said, authenticity is a really big one. How did you start out? Were you always a nutritionist? Like, did you start out specifically in nutrition, or you found that that was a passion that came to you?
Yeah. So I actually started off as a teacher. When I graduated as an undergraduate, I studied natural sciences. And I decided that I wanted to teach that at school. So I trained as a teacher. But through that, I didn't really kind of connect with the system and the very kind of controlling nature. I found it very, very frustrating. And so really kind of went within and said, what else am I really passionate about? And again, this was something that I had to really accept within myself. And the obvious answer was being a nutritionist. Mm-hmm. And again, I worried what other people, especially my parents who saw me through the eating disorder, what they would think, if it would worry them, all of that type of stuff. But really, I started off kind of studying nutrition in the background. And then, as I say, when I decided teaching wasn't for me, I decided to formally train as a nutritionist. And I trained over in the UK at King's College in London and got my master's, started taking on nutrition clients, but realized that a lot of these people were coming from personal trainers. Personal trainers are saying, okay, you have this weight loss goal. You also need to look at your nutrition. Here's a nutritionist. So because of that, I decided then to study personal training and fitness, which saw me come over here to the US. And I trained at UCLA as a fitness instructor. And that opportunity led me to be able to open my business over here. I got a 1-year work visa and I started to do both fitness and nutrition, which was great. I was able to reach a wider audience and help more. However, there was still a sticking block. So clients would come to me generally wanting to eat better or lose weight or both. And some clients came to me and no matter what nutrition advice I gave them, what exercises we did, there was still something, you know, they couldn't lose the last 10 pounds. Mm-hmm. And we didn't really know why, you know, they weren't severely restricting their calorie intake. So, you know, there wasn't a problem with their metabolism. And I really tried to do all of the conventional things that I knew of. And I was starting to lose confidence in myself and my own ability. But then I actually realized that there's a whole mindset piece behind how we nourish our bodies, both from a physical perspective and mental. And it was because of this lack in confidence that I had in myself, the kind of mean girl stories that I was telling myself, I went on this whole journey to discover how to silence that in a mean girl voice when she comes up, how to really love your body. Because from my side, I was walking the walk and talking the talk when it came to how I was nourishing my body, finally, after so long of suffering through, you know, the physical abuse, but I was still mentally abusing myself. Mm-hmm. And that's the missing piece that I was finding with clients as well. So really my journey kind of, in summary, was from being a nutritionist to having the whole suite of physical kind of behaviors and personal training as well as nutrition to also encompassing that mindset approach. And I think that is the secret sauce, is those three things in combination.
So is that in essence what you are hanging your hat on in terms of where you're, where you can stand out? So in essence, the positioning side of it.
Absolutely. Yeah. So what I see a lot, online, and also now when things are opening up, there's still a lot of diets out there that don't actually address the stories that we tell ourselves, the personality traits that we need to be in order to get to where we want to be. And to me, that is very, very frustrating. And I think a lot of people are really frustrated with it themselves. You know, clients say, I really want something that is sustainable. I really want something that is enjoyable. And I really want something that's going to take me out of this dieting, yo-yo dieting. And to me, it's very much a case of, all right, well, have you considered your identity? Have you considered the type of things that you're telling yourself, the shame, the judgment? You know, what are you telling yourself when you look in the mirror? All of those things. And people go, oh, no, not really. So I work on that a lot with clients, in addition to the physical and the very kind of like habit formation. It's a mindset piece as well.
That is so good. Okay. So you just launched a book a couple months back. Congratulations on that, because everyone's got a book in them. And I know that it's such a labor of love to create a book. So you must feel very, very proud of the product. I love the cover, by the way. It's just absolutely gorgeous. It definitely stands out. So is this philosophy included in your book
as well? Yes. Yes. And thank you very much for saying all of those lovely things about my book, because I am very proud of it. And I think I surprised a lot of people because I wrote it really quickly. I wrote it within a year, and I wrote it because I had this really strong sense of this needs to come out into the world, and I'm doing other people a disservice if I don't.
Yeah.
Get it done. So, I also surprise people because in it, I don't talk very much to the rebellious acts. So each chapter is a rebellious act. Two of the rebellious acts are to do with nutrition and movement. The other 10 are all to do with mindset. So things like letting go of comparison, being vulnerable, forgiving yourself, having a cheer squad, all of the things that really support those physical aspects of wellness.
So what you're in essence saying is it's in the 80-20 rule, right? Where 80% yes. of what you're saying is like all mindset.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And again, you know, that's something that I don't think we're really seeing. Maybe we're seeing a little bit of the mindset kind of as a afterthought, but not front and center. And to be honest, the first two chapters of Reclaim the Rebel is literally getting to the meat of it and sort of like saying, have you actually considered, you know, what type of person you are, you're being, and the type of characteristics that the person who already has what you want and the stories that they're telling themselves, what they have. And I've had clients kind of come to me and say, I did the exercise and all of a sudden I found myself in the middle of the supermarket in the grocery, in the produce section. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what happened, because they're starting to really embody that identity of someone who eats healthily and just shops in the produce section as opposed to, you know, in the center of the supermarket. So I think it's central to getting what we want in life. And I know that you are also really passionate about the mindset side when it comes to business.
For sure. So out of curiosity, would a common objection be like, okay, because I know for me and what I do, it's always like, okay, well, how much time is this going to take? Do you ever get the resistance around time, or what are the common objections? Because you're introducing the mindset and that could creep into a couple of things where like, oh, is this a bunch of woo-woo stuff? Yeah, no, I don't need that. Right. Like, I think part of the friction that I always talk about is like, where are the friction points? Like, is the friction the time? Is the friction where you're presenting a new idea? Like, what have been those barriers that you have found?
One of the common barriers is, what if it doesn't work? Mm. And people are very, very worried that this is another thing that isn't going to work. And that's mainly because people have been jaded by their experiences with dieting, healthy eating, all of those things. So my answer is, well, have you tried this different approach? You know, just give me a couple of months to show you that if you consistently apply these principles, then you will feel so much better in your body. You'll feel more confident, more energized, happier, healthier. And I think there's kind of that almost skepticism of that, well, what if it isn't going to work out for me? Well, maybe it's worked out for somebody else, but maybe it's not for me. Mm-hmm. And I think having that limiting belief is keeping a lot of people stuck. And that's where we rewrite their story of, it's not going to work for me. I say, what if it does? What if you can feel really, really good very easily? And just kind of trust the process. So that is kind of the main barrier that I come up against is like, oh, I'm not sure if this is going to work or how long is this going to work for? And the how long is it going to work for piece is really down to how committed you are to the process, how consistent you are. In my book, I say, make like a Nike ad and just do it. Just be committed to, you know, doing these small, simple things consistently. And that is where you will see the results.
And I think the important thing here is the difference between what you're talking about, how you can help, where it's not just rah-rah, like you can do it. And so how do you distinguish that? If somebody is going in saying, oh, okay, like I'm already all positive. I don't need any more positivity, right? Because that's the thing. And it's a real obstacle is where people will make up their minds based on what they think they are going to get or what they perceive is going or what you offer. And it's like, no, it's not. And so this is just another way of why differentiation is so key. So how are you addressing that?
Yeah. So, I mean, I definitely appreciate positivity. And I'd also say I appreciate being realistic and being, again, authentic about it. So I was talking to a client yesterday and she shared that she found something kind of difficult. She found one of the ideas of opening up and looking at her inner child very challenging. And I said, well, I still find certain things very challenging when I feel that resistance. And she was like, oh, really? You still find things challenging? And I'm like, yes, because at the end of the day, your inner mean girl is still going to pop up from time, you know, from time to time. You're still going to feel a fear of being judged. You're still gonna maybe have days where your diet is not how you want it to look. You're still gonna have days where you feel not great. But once you go through this process, it's how you move, how quickly you move through those days and those feelings. And so what is different, I believe, about me is that realism. I'm not saying I'm going to get rid of all of your insecurities just in 12 rebellious acts. What I'm saying is that through these rebellious acts, you'll have a toolkit that you can use for life so that you can align yourself quickly and consistently with feeling good.
All right, we are about halfway through with the show, and I wanted to stop by with a question for you. Do you consider yourself smart, driven, and in control of your life, but for some reason, growing your business is this strange exception? Or maybe you are able to start projects, but then quickly go into procrastination mode because you're not quite sure if you got it all right, or finding yourself avoiding figuring things out because you're not sure if you really have what it takes to grow your business. Think about it. All this self-doubt, imagine what it's costing you. And some part of you thinks, am I able to do this entrepreneur thing? Listen, sis, I get it. I really do. More than you can imagine. So what I know now is that after doing this for over 9 years, working on your internal repositioning, so to speak, is how you get past this. It's working with your higher self. tapping into more of that superpower, really owning it. So I put together this 21-day challenge. It's called the Meet My Higher Self 21-Day Challenge so that you can discover what I call the triad of her success. It's the three key areas that you absolutely have to have in alignment in order to create the success that you desire and deserve. So the challenge is designed for super busy people in mind. The structure is easy, bite-sized action steps, audios, everything that you need for 21 days so that you can finally release this feeling of overwhelmed, or maybe it's a stress or the procrastination or just mind f-ing yourself in general. So go to meetmyhigherself.com to find out more. 21 days discovering the tools to have you let go of all the junk that's keeping you stuck. It's possible. Just go to meetmyhigherself.com. And with that, let's get on with the show.
Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it totally makes sense. Okay, so tell me a success story of a client that you've helped with the way that you approach this entire topic of nutrition and women and how it's 80% of the mindset stuff that you're saying. Mm-hmm.
So I'm really proud of one of my clients. So she's from the UK and she came to me because she is surrounded by friends who have had surgery or want to have surgery because they're unhappy with their bodies. And she came to me because she was like, I don't want to go through that option because it's dangerous and I have a kid and what if it goes wrong kind of thing. So I want to do it the natural way. Help. So we started working together on all of the things and it was very apparent that the stories that she was telling herself were so harmful. It was, things like, my boobs are saggy, my bum is horrible, all of those really, really judgmental and outright just mean things. So I asked her to do the mirror exercise where she stands in front of the mirror and looks for an uncomfortable amount of time and looks to the good in her body, like reframes her stories about the saggy boobs and the flat bum and all of that. And she actually, she did this consistently for, I think it was just 3 weeks. And she came to me and she said, you know what? I saw one of my friends the other day and she was trying to get me to get liposuction again. And I just said to her, I'm not interested. I think I look beautiful the way I am. And that was so, so different to the things she was telling me a few weeks before. Yeah. And it's through kind of having that strong sense of self and that strong courage of actually saying, well, it might be right for you, but it's not right for me, that I think is hugely empowering. And when I hear stories like that, I can't help but smile. I'm just so, so proud when women are able to do that and say, nope, not for me. I'm good. Thank you. And just, peace, love, but I'm out.
Yeah. It's so, so cool. It's so much about, and I've heard other people say, it's like, it's not about the food. Right. It's not about the food. It's how we feel about ourselves in that process. And I know like just certain things that happen to me. I mean, I'm definitely, I'll give in or I'll get triggered and I'm like, oh crap. Like I'm in this emotional, eating thing. And I'm like, I catch myself. I have the awareness enough to know, okay, I'm like, what's really going on? And so just had I not had the help that I received once upon a time, I don't understand how people could possibly have the awareness that there are strategies and tools like what you're talking about that can really be life-changing because you're not giving in to the victimhood or the self-pity or the judgment or the things that just rob you of feeling happy. Because it's like, isn't that what we all want? Like, we just want the default setting of being that baby, the happy baby, so to speak. And I just think it's so massive, massive what you're doing. So question for you. I know that you and I have talked because you're in our community, but have you really recognized like the opportunity for community for yourself? Is that something that is really intriguing to you?
It's so important to me. Okay. So when my book launched, I relied on my community to really support me in the launch. I gave a lot of people a copy as Reclaim the Rebel, because I want to impact as many people as possible. And in doing that, I was able to, you know, build a community, my book army, and they spread the word about my book. And, you know, that has resulted in a really, really strong group online that I turned into your cheer squad. So Rebellious Act 12 in my book is having a cheer squad.
Okay, good. Importance
of having a community to support you along your journey. Because if you're doing it on your own, oh my gosh, it's like having the weight of the world on your shoulder. So when you offload and share that, it just feels so freeing. And I kind of liken it to being in a marathon race, and, you know, you're the one running the race, but the marathon runner always has a support team. They have a nutritionist, they have their friends and family cheering them on for that physical nourishment, but also emotional support. So I've now turned that book army into the cheer squad. And we have a very active online community now of individuals who love, you know, helping other people, you know, sharing their experiences in nutrition and, you know, mindset. And it's been really, really rewarding to kind of establish that and really the springboard to where I want to go next in terms of group coaching. Because I think it's really, really powerful to have that cheer squad.
It absolutely is. And it sounds like you have the makings of it. So that is so, so good. I love it. Okay. So a couple questions for you. Like, what do you think is an untapped opportunity with the marketing that you've been doing so far?
Oh, that is a great question. I think... Actually, I know the answer to this question, and I shared it today on my social media, and that is the fact that I'm woo, and I strongly believe that my soul is crying out to help others and heal at a very, very deep level. And I haven't really shared that. I think this is kind of like the next level of going back to what I was saying, you know, sharing the fact that I had an eating disorder was terrifying to me. Sharing the fact that I'm woo and have this very, very strong sense of there's a spiritual aspect to the work that I'm doing and that we're doing collectively as a group to really dismantle this very patriarchal system of, you're not good enough. This is how you should be. This is the diet that you should follow. Fit into this box. That work comes from a very, very deep soul level and a very long history of our ancestors having to suffer from that. So actually sharing that with other people and being open about that is something that I think is really, really important to me.
And I think that'll be huge.
Yeah.
It'll be huge. I see more of the storytelling, more of the real world stories. I mean, these are the things that become captivating that I know that people will start to remember you for that story or for that one incident and the relatability. So that's going to help you really stand apart, because everything that you're saying, it has everything to do with, like, again, I'm doing the 80-20, like 80% is mindset. I think, like, really hanging your hat on how that's such a big component of it. It's everything. It's everything, because you can grab the foods to eat and eating the perimeter, don't eat packaged foods or junky foods and stuff. They can get that anywhere, but the relationships that they can create with you because you share so vulnerably. And I love that authenticity is one of your core values. I think that's so in alignment with where you could take your brand, especially as you're stepping more into sharing more of the woo stuff, right? So that's going to be really key for your growth.
Yeah. And actually, I have someone from my cheer squad to thank for sort of bringing that to my attention, because I was talking to her the other day and she said, I really enjoyed your book, but something that I didn't notice was the spiritual side. And we had, I think it was like an hour and a half phone conversation about the spiritual aspect of self-love and loving our bodies. But she said, you don't go deep into that very much. You kind of, you touch on it, but you're not kind of going deep into it. And I think that is really, that is important for a lot of women. And if it's not, then that's okay. I've kind of accepted that if people are kind of like, whoa, that's a little bit too woo, then I'm not the right person for
exactly
you. And that's okay.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. It's like stepping into that comes with a perspective, like a marketing perspective that is called contrast, right? And contrast by the very nature of the word is like, you will be off-putting to people. It creates the polarity, like either you are, or you're not. And you have to be okay with that. And that's like a little bit of the mind games that you go through is like, oh, but then I won't be able to work with more people. And as you know, that's simply not the case. But the more you refine the message, the more you'll be able to gather the cheer squad, gather the community, gather like-minded people that are going to grow with you. And so I think that's a huge opportunity for you, is just stepping more into the woo. And I almost think that there's a second book in you.
I mean, yeah.
No pressure. Not to add more to your plate.
Oh my gosh.
I can't. Yeah. It's really, really big.
Yeah, it's exciting. It's really exciting. And I definitely, like, I loved writing Reclaim the Rebel. It was such a fun process for me. That's kind of like my creative outlet is writing. Mm-hmm. And so I definitely think another book would be amazing. Maybe not right now, maybe like in a year or so. But yeah, definitely. I think, you know, if that is how I find my voice and how I can help other people, then for sure, like that's what my soul is asking me to do. So
absolutely. That's so good. Okay. So out of curiosity, what would make this a great year for you, Lizzie?
So from a personal perspective, I have been getting my green card visa and I just obtained it. So now that the world is opening up, both from a global perspective, but personal perspective, because you're not allowed to travel once you're applying for a visa. Now that I can do that, we're going to go home to England and visit my parents, but also visit Glastonbury, because that is a sacred site. It's where the Michael and Mary ley lines meet, I believe. So that is definitely on the bucket list. I would love for that to happen. From a professional side of things, as I mentioned, my group coaching program is launching in March. Mm-hmm. So I would love for that to be an expansive experience where I can help lots more women just achieve that unconditional love for their body, continue to see lots of people benefit from the book. I get such a kick through seeing the reviews come in and people are like, oh my goodness, this is so relatable and this is helping me. So that is everything to me. And that really kind of like fuels my fire and keeps me going. So both a combination of, you know, continuing to spread the book far and wide, but also my ability to coach other people.
Oh, that's so good. So person, place, or thing, what is something that inspires you deeply?
good question. Person, place, or thing. Now, what came to mind, I'm just being completely, the first thing that came to my head is actually my spirit animal. So I had this really, really deep dream that my spirit animal came to me and it was a purple tiger. And I woke up and I was like, yeah, a purple tiger. And it had these like really cool yellow eyes and all of that type of thing. And I was just like, I think I met my spirit animal. That's really cool. And I looked up what a tiger represents. And I was like, yeah, courageous, this, you know, has a sense of kind of mystical and all of the things that a tiger represents. And I think whenever I kind of go back to that and sort of like, okay, so what is my spirit animal? What am I channeling through what I'm doing? That's when I'm most in alignment. If I can embody the characteristics of a tiger, the fierceness, but also the softness and the just not necessarily external beauty, but beauty of the tiger, that kind of that poise that a tiger has in what it does and how it moves and what it represents. If I can go back to that, then yeah, that's what inspires me to create what I create. So
I love that.
That was kind of like my off the cuff intuition.
It works. I envisioned it. So what's your idea of perfect happiness?
So perfect happiness to me is having that sense of inner peace that we were kind of talking about, you know, being completely okay with who you are, what you look like, your personality, just pure self-acceptance, being able to set healthy boundaries for yourself. That's huge. And being in an environment where you feel loved, safe, and just able to kind of express yourself freely and fully, and just be.
Love that.
There's no striving for anything. It's just, this just feels good. I'm just going to enjoy, be in the moment.
Love that. And after all is said and done, what do you want your legacy to be?
I love that question. And I think my legacy is the girl who set the diet industry on fire.
I love that. And had a battle cry of reclaim your right, reclaim.
Yes, your right. Yes, my lord.
Yes, I love that.
That's my salute.
Yes, I love that. All right. So Lizzie, how do people find out more about your book, you, your group coaching? Please feel free to share away.
Thank you so much. So the best place to find out everything about that is my website, Nutrition by Lizzie, Lizzie spelt with a Y.com. There you'll be able to find out about coaching, the book, and also get a ton of resources that I share in my blog, and recipes and all of those kinds of things. And then if you want to connect on Instagram, that's probably the best place to, you know, just follow me for tips and ask me questions. I love questions, even the hard ones that you've been asking me, Patty. Mm-hmm. Then that would be the best place to go find me. And again, it's at Nutrition by Lizzie.
At Nutrition by Lizzie and nutritionbylizzie.com. Make sure to grab your copy of your book, Reclaim the Rebel by Lizzie Kangro. Thank you so much for this time that you shared with me. I am so excited for you, and I have no doubt that your vision is just unfolding before you because you're tenacious and you just are so heart-centered. I have no doubt. So thank you for sharing.
Thank you so much, Patty. I really appreciate you and everything that you do.
Likewise. Thank you.
Hey there. Thanks for checking out this episode of Positioning to Profit. Please leave a review if you have gained a benefit from this episode. I appreciate it greatly, and I will give you a shout out on the show as well. I so appreciate the ratings and reviews. Okay. Also, for the positioning extravaganza, head over to positioningtoprofit.com. There's lots of goodies over there. It's a treasure chest of freebies as well as beautiful courses that will help you to establish your category of one and move your brand forward. And again, connect with me over on socials or on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn. I'm on the socials. So I hope to connect with you there. And I look forward to catching up with you real soon.